the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, from one world of the living and the dead to another world altogether, a miniature world where model makers thrive. Our reporter Shifra McQueen has been finding out what inspires people to dedicate hours to crafting intricate miniature models, one tiny detail at a time.
Well, I get home from work. I work a lot of late shifts, so if everyone else is in bed by the time I get back home, I can go into the spare room, open the door, take a seat next to where I have the controller set up, flick a switch, and I can just enjoy something that I've created and built up. But it does transport you somewhere else almost straight away. You know, the small sounds that the trains running around can make can be quite soothing. When the little wheels bounce across them, they do make a very small clickety-clack. Especially on my track, because I didn't do a particularly good job of putting it together. If you want to build a new train from scratch, if you want to build a model of the house that you can't afford in real life, you can do that. Rule number one of model railways is there are no rules, you know. It does allow you your imagination to run wild a little bit.
Glenn Murphy is a journalist for the Irish Times, and he's also a model railway builder.
We'll begin with a spin, travelling in the world of my creation.
So my layout is actually called the Rosebery Steam Railway. It's named for the area that my parents' house is in. So I can have three trains running at once, one from point A to point B, and the other two can just run continuously in circles. I also have an engine shed, small like station master's cottage, crossing keeper's cottage. I have a model pub on the layout, and instead of just keeping it as the generic pub name that was on it, I changed it to O'Connell's Bar, which is where my friends and I would go in Kildare. So I actually have a small 3D printed model of a friend of mine from the UK who makes railway documentaries for a living. So now I have a little cameo of him as if he was filming one of his documentaries on my layout in miniature. Well, my great-grandfather, Paddy Walsh, he worked on the railways for CIE back in the 40s and 50s, and he was a goods clerk. And my great-granny, she told me quite a bit about him working there and how, you know, they used to hang their laundry, their washing out on the front garden, and the dirty old steam trains would come and destroy the clean washing. We actually do have a great picture of him on the job at the station there. It's him standing in front of a cattle wagon. So I've actually made a model of that same cattle wagon.
Is the model railway business a dying trade?
Since Donald Trump introduced the new tariffs, particularly on China, where a lot of the manufacturing for the major companies takes place, like Hornby. So obviously the import and export costs are going to go through the roof. Model railways in the US are a very, very big hobby. You know, a lot of people think that that's the end of the line for the hobby as a result. But I don't think that's really a fair generalization of the hobby. Like, if you look especially online, you've got YouTubers that are very successful with it that are actually mainly young people that are guys in their 20s and 30s.
I started off doing architectural model making for a company in Dublin, so it was a lot of architectural models, and it was working through scale drawings. It was very much 9 to 5, and it just bored me to tears. And everything was too perfect and cut straight, but it wasn't really for me. It's not the world I have interest in.
Mark Maher is founder of Odyssey Studios in Limerick, a model design company that makes miniature sets for the big screen. This is a special effect that is used to create visuals that would be too expensive or difficult to design in full scale.
Some stuff that you wouldn't even think, the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. Any of the Batman cars and stuff like that are miniatures. Interstellar, a spaceship was done as it was all miniatures, you know. I know in Lord of the Rings, originally they made miniatures. For any of the waterfalls that were kind of far back, they were just using salt. And they shot it and it just looked like water in the distance.
Mark has worked on everything from The Hobbit to Alice Through the Looking Glass.
So some of the Hobbit stuff that we would have created was, like, a big one was Lake Town. So Lake Town was like a human settlement with, I suppose, a twist of Norwegian and Celtic styles. Yeah, no, over there was fun because, like, you know, the Kiwis walk around on their bare feet, and Peter Jackson used to come in, he'd go around in his bare feet, and I was just like, get away with your little Hobbit feet. Wizards, I remember seeing Gandalf, G-Dog as I call them. No, I didn't call him anything like that. Gandalf, and he was cool because he was full outfit, the nose on, the staff, and then he had a pair of Converse runners on. I was like, that's so cool. It's very important to build a skeleton of the miniature first before you start telling the story. It's like a skeleton of a person. You're putting on muscle, which is kind of like the windows and doors and all that kind of stuff, and then you're cladding it and you're aging, and that's all the skin and bits and pieces. So you have to think of like every model is like a sculpture, you know. And the same with kind of Alice in Wonderland. The towns itself are very colourful, and they're kind of, you'd nearly think there's like something down in like Doolin or something like that, you know, that has the yellows and the purples and the pinks. We're thinking about like the White Rabbit running up the clock tower, and you know, one of the shops was a shoemaker. And you're thinking of the, like, what is he like? Is he messy? Is there a bit of leather outside his shop? Or is he really a perfectionist?
Laura Hurtado is a model maker for Odyssey Studios.
I do really enjoy the painting. There's a little bit of accident that also needs to happen. If you're making a splash, you have to go for it and make the splash. You know, you can't paint the individual droplets, you know what I mean? So that's quite fun, because sometimes it's a relationship that you have with the thing where you're working together, you know? I think it's quite meditative. I become very focused. Sometimes I even accidentally might get a little bit rude, where someone might be talking to me and it takes me just a few more seconds to actually look at them, because I'm like, hang on, I need to finish this little line here.
It's all how you age the thing as well. It's like if you're building the castle really fresh and nice, if you look at steps, so if people are coming down the steps for 300-400 years and they're concrete steps, the middle of it will be worn away if you're having a castle. So you have to do that in miniature as well. It cannot be perfect.
For example, when we worked in aging these spaceships, and you have to like imagine them traveling through space, all the wear of that like high velocity and how it's impacting on the sides of the spaceship. They might have gone into battle and they might have got hit here or there, and might have gotten asteroids or something hitting on the doors.
Sometimes I think of Lego as just like another medium. You know, some people will use words, some people will use paints, but it's really just a medium to kind of capture the city. You know, Dublin Bricks is really just a love letter to the city of Dublin.
Gianni Clifford is the founder of Dublin Bricks.
So I started off building the Long Hall on Georgia Street, and then Grogan's on St William Street. You know, I do some, you know, back of the napkin mats on how wide the pub should be. You know, how can I capture the essence of this pub in Lego? When you go inside to some of these buildings, it's really the little details. So, for example, in Grogan's, it might be our little toasted sandwiches that are in there, all the peculiar art that's on the wall. You know, it's quite distinctively one room in Grogan's, but it's kind of split into a bar and a lounge. Would people be able to look at that, recognize, oh yeah, there's my seat. Little pints of Guinness, working bar taps behind the bar. It's all these little details that help bring it together. The Lego business is from Denmark, and a guy called Ole Kirk, and then later his sons actually ran it. He was a carpenter by trade, and they sold furniture and different wood, and then they later moved into wooden toys. But strangely enough, their factories burnt down so many times that they really decided to pivot, and that's when they started investing in the molds to create plastic toys. And from there, obviously, the Lego system was invented.
While being a model maker involves working alone a lot of the time, Glenn is in good company.
I mean, look, certainly when I was a kid, I got a hard time for being interested in it. The anorak, or the lonely old man in his house playing with his trains or whatever. Like, that's the stereotype. Neil Young is actually part owner in Lionel Trains in the US.
And even, you know, Rod Stewart back in the day, instead of throwing TVs out of windows, he used to book an extra hotel room to work on his model train stuff. I can always say I have something in common with those lads, which is, you know, it's very cool to be able to say that.
She from O'Queen reporting there. That's all for today. The show was produced by Aideen McLaughlin, Emma Laffin and Yeti Redmond. Our broadcast coordinator was Caitlin Clark, and Jamie Doyle was on sound. Until next week, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.